Welcome to day 81 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We've looked at the second commandment in the catechisms. Now we're going to look at the second commandment in the Confession of Faith. The second commandment, if we can be, well, bold enough to oversimplify, the second commandment is about true and false worship. So we're going to look at what the Confession says about worship. The Confession has a couple of places where worship is talked about. Chapter 20 talks about our liberty of conscience and says we're not bound to follow those who would tell us to worship God in a false way. But let's look first at chapter 21 of the Westminster Confession, because it talks about religious worship and the Sabbath day. And we'll just look at the first couple of sections of chapter 21 that talk about religious worship. Overall, what I'd like you to do is to ask the question, what is worship and how should we worship God? I've added an extra post to our little special section of subject posts on the definition of worship. I think it's worth thinking about that nobody in America anyway is at all tempted to worship a statue or a graven image. It's just so far from our thinking that it's not a temptation, it's not an issue. It makes the entire second commandment seem irrelevant to us. So that's the first question we need to ask is, what is worship? What was worship in the Old Covenant pointing to? What does it symbolize? What is it expressing, communicating? And we'll look at some of those issues over the next, well, probably the next couple of weeks at least, because there's a lot of information in the Confession about worship. But let's start with chapter 21 of Religious Worship in the Confession of Faith. Section 1 says, "The light of nature shows that there is a God who has lordship and sovereignty over all, is good and does good to all, and is therefore to be feared, loved, praised, called upon, trusted in, and served with all the heart and with all the soul and with all the might. But the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by himself, and so limited by his own revealed will, that he may not be worshipped according to the imaginations and devices of men, or the suggestions of Satan, under any visible representation or any other way not prescribed in the Holy Scripture." So let's look at the first part of that section. The light of nature shows that there is a God who has lordship and sovereignty over all, is good and does good unto all, and is therefore to be feared, loved, praised, called upon, trusted in, and served with all the heart, with all the soul, and with all the might. Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Acts 17:24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Psalm 119:68, "Thou art good and dost good, teach me thy statutes." Jeremiah 10:7, "Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee." Psalm 31:23, "O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Psalm 18:3, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies." Romans 10:12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Psalm 62:8, "Trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. Joshua 24:14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Mark 12:33, "And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." The second part of section 1 says, But the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by himself, and so limited by his own revealed will that he may not be worshiped according to the imaginations and devices of men, or the suggestions of Satan, under any visible representation or any other way not prescribed by the Holy Scripture. Deuteronomy 12:32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Matthew 15:9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Note there the connection between worship and doctrines. Acts 17:25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth life to all, and breath, and all things. Matthew 4:9. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Deuteronomy 15:1-19 is suggested by the catechism here, I mean the confession here, but we don't have time to read it. It isn't cited in full in our edition of the confession. So you can look at it in your spare time. Exodus 20, verse 4, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Finally, Colossians 2:23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Okay, section 2 of chapter 21 on religious worship in the Confession of Faith. Religious worship is to be given to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and to him alone, not to angels, saints, or any other creature. And since the fall, not without a mediator, nor in the mediation of any other, but of Christ alone. Okay, the first section, religious worship is to be given to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and to him alone. Matthew 4:10, we just read, Jesus said, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Add to that John 5:23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. And with 2 Corinthians 13:4, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So worship is to be given to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and to him alone. The second section, not to angels, saints, or any other creature. Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Revelation 19:10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And Romans 1:25, who changed or exchanged the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And finally, we're to worship God and him alone, not angels, saints, or any other creature. And since the fall, we are not to worship without a mediator, nor in the mediation of any other, but Christ alone. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Okay, that's sections 1 and 2 of chapter 21 of the Confession. Sections 3 and 4 are on prayer. The Confession says that prayer is a part of religious worship. We'll talk about prayer when we get to the section on prayer, the catechisms both go through the Lord's Prayer line by line and talk about prayer in more detail. So we'll put these two sections under those headings in the catechism. Section 5 is on the reading and hearing of the Word, which they say, the confession says, is a part of religious worship. Then we come to section 6, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. That will be on day 82. The basic thrust of section 6 is that worship is not tied to any particular place, but is to be done everywhere. We'll look at that because that's a very important subject. I think a lot of people have the idea that worship takes place only in church, and that's a very distorted view of worship. And there's a lot of interesting things here in the confession that are worth thinking about. Finally, let's review a chapter we've already looked at back in chapter 2, section 2 of chapter 2, which is about God and the Holy Trinity. It describes God and says at the end, "To him is due from angels and men and every other creature whatsoever worship, service, or obedience he is pleased to require of them." So tomorrow we'll look at the idea that worship is to be done everywhere. That's in section 6 of chapter 21 of the Confession.